Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Now we're turning to the US, where the trial is continuing of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged with the murder of African-American George Floyd. Well, yesterday the trial heard powerful testimony from an expert witness, Kilkenny-born Dr. Martin Tobin, a pulmonologist, who specialises in the mechanics of breathing, and he told the court in calm, measured testimony that Mr. Floyd's death was clearly caused by a lack of oxygen. Mr. Tobin also disputed the defence's case that Mr. Floyd had the drug fentanyl in his system, which caused his death.
The normal respiratory rate is 17 breaths per minute, plus or minus 5. So that would mean a normal respiratory rate of between 12 and 22. That's the normal range of respiratory rate. And so if it was with fentanyl, you'd be expecting a respiratory rate above 10. Instead of that, you counted here yourself. And you can see when you counted yourself that the respiratory rate is 22. So basically it tells you there isn't fentanyl on board. That is affecting his respiratory centers. It's not having an effect on his respiratory centers.
So Mr. Floyd's respiratory rate was normal at 22 just before he lost consciousness?
Correct.
Well, for the latest on this, we're joined now by independent reporter Harriet Alexander. Harriet, thank you for joining us this evening. How much of an impact is it believed that that evidence from Dr. Tobin may have had?
That I think it's really hard to overstate the impact of his evidence, and you have to remember this is at the end of a second week of a trial that opened with incredibly dramatic and heart-wrenching evidence that was really emotional and graphic and just gripped the nation. And yet Dr. Tobin's evidence is the stuff that people are really kind of seizing on. They are saying this is what the case is absolutely about, because he had the jury hanging off his every word and they were absolutely enwrapped by the story that he was telling.
At one point, Mr. Chauvin's defence team tried to disrupt Dr. Tobin's testimony. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. And I think that in some ways is a measure of how powerful his verdict was, because he was talking the jury through in very detailed terms about respiratory systems, about breathing, and he was doing it to such an extent that the jurors could be seen sitting there and holding their necks and feeling sort of the parts of the body that he was talking about. And the defense objected to this. They said, well, actually, this is too much, and they halted the proceedings. But the judge said, no, this was fair, and that Dr. Tobin could continue.
He waived his normal fee, Dr. Tobin, and the defence, I believe, tried to use that against him.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting. He did make a point of this, as saying that he did this because he didn't want to, you know, to be paid. He wasn't doing it for the money. And the defence, I mean, this is so important for the defence, because their point all along is that George Floyd died from drug use, and that actually what Derek Chauvin did by kneeling on his neck, it wasn't that killed him. And yet Dr. Martin Tobin's testimony was totally to the opposite of that. So it was very damaging for the defence.
How far along at this point is the prosecution case?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I would imagine that they're beginning to come to the end. So as I said, you know, the first week was very emotional. It was the bystanders. It was people who actually saw what was going on. This week has been much more technical. So you've had people, police officers, talking about what you should do when you're restraining a suspect during arrest. And we've just had 2 days of medical information. So I think there will be a few more days from the prosecution, but not more than that. I mean, the judge at the very beginning said 3 weeks of evidence. So we're edging towards that.
The trial today has heard from Dr. Lindsay Thomas, and we're going to hear now one of her conclusions under questioning from the prosecuting lawyer.
So if you put all this together, cardiopulmonary arrest, complicating law enforcement subdual, restraint, and neck compression, what does that mean?
Well, what it means to me is that the activities of the law enforcement officers resulted in Mr. Floyd's death. and that specifically those activities were the subdual, the restraint, and the neck compression.
And does this then also represent your own conclusion?
Yes.
So that was the testimony from Dr. Lindsay Thomas. What else has she been saying, Harriet?
So she's a forensic pathologist, and she's been brought in. It's interesting, actually, the context of this. She's been brought in because she trained the medical examiner who performed the autopsy on George Floyd. He's called Andrew Baker, and he's going to be testifying later today. And one of the reasons, I think, that she's been brought in is because Andrew Baker's conclusion was that he died of a culmopulmonary arrest, okay? Mm. And the prosecution is saying it was asphyxiation. It was kneeling on the neck. That's what killed him. And Dr. Thomas is there this morning to say, sure, Dr. Baker's conclusion doesn't necessarily mean he didn't die of asphyxiation. She's there to sort of put it more in a context, if you would.
Okay. At this point, what do we know about Mr. Chauvin's defense team and their strategy?
Their strategy all along is to emphasize the fact that of drug use. And George Floyd, it's no secret, had a struggle with drugs. Last week, the prosecution sort of tried to preempt this. They brought along George Floyd's girlfriend, and she spoke very movingly about how the two of them had for 3 years struggled, and he would be clean, and he would get his life back together, and then he would slip. And so the prosecution know that this is what Chauvin's team are going to try and do. They're going to try and argue that it wasn't the actions of Derek Chauvin that killed him, that it was the drugs. But, I mean, the prosecution has put on a pretty strong case. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage to try and turn this around.
It's also, this trial has seen the very unusual sight, I think, of a senior police chief testifying against his own former officer.
Absolutely.
Was there much commentary around that and the evolving relationship between law enforcement and people that they police?
It's interesting. I mean, I talk to a lot of people within the policing community, and of course, the issue of policing in America is a huge topic, regardless of George Floyd. It's something that's been a long, long flashpoint. And talking to people who, you know, academics and people who work in the field, they say what's interesting is that Minneapolis was a police force that was really trying to turn itself around. Of course, there were some bad apples, but they had a police chief who was quite visionary and was making an effort. And he fired Chauvin and the other three 3 days after George Floyd's death. He didn't mess around, and he was quite damning in his testimony against Derek Chauvin.
Is there much public interest in this trial or not, Harry?
Yes, no, there is hugely. It was, if you remember last summer with all the protests, I mean, his death was on May 25th, and it sparked a whole summer of unrest in the US. And I mean, the United States is a tinderbox in many ways when it comes to race relations and when it comes to policing. This is something that flares up. Sometimes it's hard to judge which cases are really going to set the nation on fire, but George Floyd's case really did. And I think it's also worth noting that the police forces are going to be incredibly braced for the result of this trial, because I think if Derek Chauvin gets off, it's going to be explosive.
It is indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through it. That is Harriet Alexander, who is an independent reporter. And of course, we'll have more coverage of that trial next week. Some